Cherry Developer News, episode number 47 for Wednesday, June 19th, 2013. The Developer News is sponsored by Chariot Solutions Education Services for training in Java, Maven, Scala, Spring, and other technologies. Visit us on the web at chariotsolutions.com/education. Today we have an interview with one of our mobile team members, Steve Smith. He and Kevin Griffin both went to the Worldwide Developer Conference over at San Francisco last week and saw the upcoming iOS 7 as well as some of the new machines and Mavericks operating system. They talked a bit about it while they were there. They saw some of the new features, and I had an interview with Steve to talk about what we could actually talk about. Here's our interview. With me today is Steve Smith. Hi,
hello.
Steve.
Hello.
And our goal today is to, first of all, make lots of noise. Our goal today is to cover the WWDC conference. So Steve went. Steve and one of our other compadres, Kevin Griffin. So when was that? It was all last week, right?
Yeah, it was all last week, yep.
All right, so let's talk about it a little bit. First of all, you don't look like you have a neck beard. So how did you get in?
Yeah, actually, it was... For those who didn't know, I think it sold out, and they actually posted the stat in the keynote, but I think it was like 72 seconds or something ridiculous like that. So the funny thing was there were several of us sitting in the same room waiting, you know, for the moment when the tickets go on sale and hitting refresh in the browser and all that. And I was the first one. I got in, got a ticket in my cart, and actually when I went to go pay, there was some kind of an error. And as I'm doing this, Kevin Griffin, he got a ticket, paid for it, was done. He was all set. So I'm like, oh, no. It says, and the error was, there was an error processing your transaction. All items are removed from your cart.
Oh.
And in that time, it sold out. And I was incredibly depressed.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
But in the end, I was that next day, I was working from home, and I saw somebody post something about their credit. They had an issue with their credit card transaction. They later got a call from Apple Developer Center, Apple Developer Services,
right,
saying they had a ticket for him, don't worry, you'll hear from him later. So I'm like, wait a second.
That was me.
Quick logged onto my account to see what phone number I had set up with my profile. Sure enough, it was my office phone. I checked my office voicemail. This is 9 o'clock that night, and there's a message from Apple Developer Services saying, we have a ticket for you, you will get an email, and blah, blah, blah.
See, yeah. You know, other conferences, you just be like, sorry, your host.
Yeah, that's true, and I've heard stories of that with another conference.
Mm-hmm.
So I was one of the lucky ones.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So was it all week?
It was, yeah. It kicks off Monday with a light day, just the keynote.
Mm-hmm.
Just the keynote.
In the evening or something?
No, 10 in the morning,
oh, sorry,
local
the morning,
time.
Yeah.
And that wraps up. There's a couple of other things in that afternoon that are
kind
of more
parties.
High level, like the state of tools and the state of this. And we didn't really actually bother going to that. We went to the keynote, and then we went and did some stuff around town.
Mm-hmm.
And then the real meet starts Tuesday morning.
Gotcha.
And then it's Tuesday through Friday.
And it's all working sessions, closed door. I mean, it's kind of unique in that it's a conference where you basically are signing an NDA just by attending, right?
Yeah. Well, you can. There's sessions that are. Well, no, actually, you know what? Every session they start with the whole clause of no videoing, no recording. This is under NDA. It's all confidential information. But some of the stuff they do cover from previous versions of operating systems. It's not just the latest and greatest.
Well, thanks for coming.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I guess we can talk briefly about some of the main things in the keynotes. There's the consumer angle, which is they've got new MacBook Airs. Those look pretty nice.
Yeah.
I think that now you can actually go to 8 gig, which I'm running on MacBook Air, and I'm stuck at 4, and as a developer,
that's just not
good enough. And 12-hour battery life, crazy stuff like that. So certainly everyone knows about that. The Mac Pro, the future Mac Pro, looks pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Also looks like a little tiny droid.
Yeah.
A little trash can with a helmet.
Yeah, that was crazy when they announced that.
Mm-hmm.
That was an impressive piece of hardware.
Yeah, really. I think it's got like 6 or 7 different, like, I want to say FireWire, but it's the Lightning connectors.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it's got all kinds of stuff. And it literally is like a small, I mean, they had them on display outside. They were like, you know, a large deodorant can't make it a lot bigger than that, but, you know, it's amazing.
And they can make you smell clean. And then in addition to that, it looks like there's a lot of cloud stuff coming out. You know, there's the iWork cloud, which I've already signed up for beta of and got started with. Well, that's interesting. But I don't know if you noticed, but Microsoft just opened up their SkyDrive stuff for iOS for iPad. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
So you can go to the iPad now through SkyDrive and create an account and use Excel right from the iPad.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's actually pretty big because that was holding a lot of, I think, companies back from, you know, wanting to use iPads as mobile devices because of the access to the office stuff. Now there's other third-party apps that are okay, but you want the, you know, if you're a businessman, you probably want the true.
Right. You could do, and I went on there, you could do PowerPoint, you could do Excel, you could do Word. I'm like, that's kind of cool.
I found it interesting, the iWorks iCloud version actually can import, you know, Word documents.
And just like the regular
spreadsheets, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Right on the web. It was impressive.
I don't think they have much of a choice. I think they had to do that, you know, just like probably Microsoft. Everyone's trying to get that, you know, desktop productivity app stuff better. Right. And if you think about it, like, if I'm an Android person now for a lot of stuff, but all the Office stuff for Android stinks. I mean, it's not good. People will slam me for that, but hey, hi, at TechCast. We could use your feedback. There's now this iCloud keychain. So what is the iCloud keychain supposed to be?
So it's actually kind of funny because every year, well, this is my second WWDC that I went to. Mm-hmm. And each year as we come out of the keynote and we kind of laugh about the products that they have killed by integrating services into their products that you know, take place of the third-party apps.
Right.
So this year they introduced, when they were talking about Mavericks, the new desktop OS, called iCloud keychain. So it's basically kind of one password-ish. So you can, you know, keep track of all your username and passwords, and it'll work right out of right in the Safari version that comes with Mavericks. And then it also carries over to iOS, mm-hmm. and it'll sync across devices. So there you have it. If I set it up, you know, set up my whatever credentials on my desktop, I got it on my phone and my iPad as well, with iOS 7.
And we should mention, we just mentioned Mavericks and iOS 7, so those are the next things on our list, I guess. Mavericks is the new name for, it's no longer a cat, right?
Right,
yeah. So what is Mavericks supposed to be? It's like some sort of
It's some location, north of San Fran or something like that, a huge surfing place. I guess they're now going to do, I don't know if it's just surfing or cities.
Is everyone turning into Spicoli there or something? Dude!
I don't know, but I thought it was kind of odd, but it was funny. They initially said, our new version is Sea Lion, and they showed this sea lion. Everybody's just kind of laughing.
That's too funny. Yeah, and I guess they're from what I saw from the presentation, there's a lot of integration between phone and desktop. So, you know, you can send a map to your phone and that kind of thing. That's really nice.
They're definitely improving that, which is great.
Like a lot of user productivity features.
Yeah.
I guess a facelift for Siri, things like that.
Yeah.
So in terms of what you are able to even say about iOS 7, we have kind of like the public list of those things, so we probably ought to go over some of those features. You brought kind of a list to go through, right?
Yeah, well, I just kind of, you know, before we got together, I kind of looked through the keynote to refresh my memory about specific things they mentioned.
Right.
Because, you know, the sessions following that are all very detailed, very specific, and you kind of lose track of what was public and what's not.
Yeah, sure.
But the kind of the main things that come out, obviously it was very user focused, you know, whole new UI, which there are plenty of opinions about, so I won't even get into that.
Everything
some people
from
call it flat, some people call it clean.
Right.
Clean is the politically correct term, I guess, that we're supposed to use.
There were layers.
Yeah. So there's goods and bads to it. I think, you know, I like everybody else, have an opinion.
Right.
But as far as features go, some of the main things are the new control center, which is really settings, you know, through any screen. You can even make it available to you on the lock screen. You just swipe up and you get access to, you know, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, a few handy little features like a flashlight calculator, things like that.
Mm-hmm. AirDrop.
That is AirDrop, yeah. Well, AirDrop is a whole other feature.
That is very cool.
Which is very cool now. But yes, according to the demo, basically there's a few different settings that you can have for AirDrop. So you can set it, you know, based on your security tolerance. And you can turn it off. Mm-hmm. But basically anybody in the area who's running a device that has AirDrop on it will show up and you can share things directly with them wirelessly and securely.
That's pretty cool.
So that, I think, is
awesome. Beyond that, welcome to Android's
drag
down status. That's good. I mean, well, we need it for the iOS stuff.
Yeah, and I think the funny thing is you mentioned that, and I think a lot of the paradigms are crosses between what was good in iOS, what's people like in Windows Phone, and what people want from Android.
Artfully done.
Yeah. Again, very opinionated, but...
Hey, that's okay, but in mobile, you can't not be, because you have to kind of, you know...
So I think they're kind of, they're picking off the best of different platforms and integrating them in the way that Apple does it, which, you know, of course, has to be up to their standards.
Sure. And no more silly stitching, huh? No more skeuomorphism.
Yeah, oh, they were the keynote. There was some they were really blasting.
What was the line? We were completely out of green felt for the game center. That was the one that cracked me up.
And there was a couple of comments around the leather bindings on the... And that was both for... was it for the desktop, too, and iOS?
I think so.
Yeah. So that was pretty funny.
So Mavericks will do away with iOS 7, will do away with all that making it look like it's a real thing, for the most part.
Yeah, the Apple company line now is, you know, focus on the content. Everything's about the content. Get all the Chrome out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Get people, you know, engaged with your content, whatever that may be.
So what else you have here? So multitasking is a big deal, right?
And that was the next thing I wanted to mention was the multitasking. It's more true multitasking, not true like Android, but the, you know, Apple's always hypersensitive about battery life.
Right.
So they do it in a way that minimizes impact to battery. So the main things out of there are there is now a way to push data. I think they called it push triggers in the presentation. From a server side perspective, you can say, hey, here's, come get some new data.
Nice.
And your app will get to that, respond to it, and pull down the new data all in the background.
Mm-hmm.
No user interaction required there. And then there's also a way to configure the app to go and fetch data. And it's kind of periodic, and it's, you know, as they said in the keynote, it's based on user behavior. So if I fire up an app a certain time every day, the OS will kind of keep track of that.
Ooh.
And kind of know to say, all right, let's prefetch data before that happens. Things like that. Ah, can't vouch for its, you know.
Well, we'll see, right?
Yeah.
Like everything else that gets launched by everybody, we'll see how it goes.
But I think that's a huge improvement for iOS.
Mm-hmm.
Because that whole fetching of data when an app becomes active was always kind of painful.
And you have to wait as a user for that to start.
Yeah, great, much, much better user experience.
Right, good. And then there's consumer stuff like the radio and
updated
photos.
And Siri, they made changes to the UI, and I think they added some features. I'm not a huge Siri user, so.
Right, yeah, after playing with it enough and getting to say silly things, like I'm made of silicon.
Yeah.
You know.
I think one thing for the enterprise folks, they have now per app VPN.
Oh.
So that's about all I heard about it was the mention of it.
So if you have an email with a particular company, you have to fetch just email for that. You could set it up, I guess.
Yeah, so I guess it's a way to have secure communications app by app basis without having to expose stuff over the internet.
So actually, we should go all the way back with our relationship with Apple, our development. And we're really not Apple partners that I know of, right? We're development. We don't have a partnership, for full disclosure. We're just...
Not really, no.
Put things in the App Store where they needed it and work with our customers. But you were one of the people early on that was, you know, went to the original back in iOS, what was it, 2 at that time? I don't even remember anymore. Probably 4 years ago.
It was before the iPad came out, that's for sure. So what was that, 3 or 4 years
ago?
It was probably 3,
yeah.
Maybe 3.
The reason I ask that is because, you know, you've been working with mobile in general, and you've done everything from some Android to the web, you know, mobile web stuff, the phone gap and all this other stuff, and have been doing iOS all the way through pretty steadily, I think. So we're, from a developer's perspective, forgetting even iOS 7, you know, how has iOS evolved for you as a developer? And in terms of being able to get things done, has it come forward more, or is it pretty much you have a big learning curve, and once you're there, it's pretty much been the same?
Well, no, there's a big learning curve, but I think the language has evolved. I don't know if it's been super fast, but maybe, you know, it's hard to say reasonably. And it's just made it more, it's made it easier to develop and give you some more power. So, like, they introduced blocks back in iOS 4 or 5, and that was great. You know, their API continues to evolve and improve.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one thing I really like. They have a very nice API. I mean, it makes it a lot easier to do things. Like, I don't have a huge amount of Android experience, but lately I wanted to play around with just, you know, what does it take to build a list view,
right,
you know, from a data source, and the data being like a server-side API call. Just
and you're using
JSON.
Probably fragments and activities for this?
I use a fragment. I used, you know, I had to set up...
There's a lot.
Yeah, it just seemed like a lot of code
to
get what I think seems like not that much done. Whereas in iOS, the APIs are just a little easier to get that done with.
Right. And so you don't necessarily have to go looking for... simplicity. Like, you know, Java developers, you go and look at Spring, for example. So, yeah. You know, like there's RoboSpice and some other APIs for Android. Do you see much in terms of third-party APIs coming to the fore?
Well, actually, that was the next thing I wanted to mention, was that that is one thing that has improved tremendously over the past, I'll say, maybe 2 years, mm-hmm. maybe less, is the amount of third-party libraries out there.
Oh, cool.
So we tend to use a framework called CocoaPods for dependency management. Mm-hmm. Makes it way easier to add.
It's kind of like the dependency manager of Maven or something? Or
kind of, yeah. It's gem-based.
Okay.
But basically, you have a way of specifying what classes and elements go into your framework.
Gotcha.
So as a consumer of that framework, I just have to set up my project to use CocoaPods, mm-hmm. which is a few steps, very easy to do. And then if I want to add a pod, so like a very common third-party network these days is AF networking.
Mm-hmm.
It's great API abstraction layer over NSURL connection stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So all I have to do is go into my pod file and say pod. I don't even know if I have to say pod anymore. But basically you say right. AF networking and you tell the version.
Uh-huh.
And then drop to a command line, say pod install, and it pulls down the libraries, configures your project based on the settings that that library has defined. And boom, it's now available.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. And there are tons of third-party libraries that are great.
So it's really starting to mature. Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
So like, if you had to pick like your top couple of libraries you use a lot, what do you think are...
Well, certainly AF networking, mm-hmm. MB Progress HUD is a common one, which is kind of like that overlay, like when you're waiting or loading something, the little spinner.
Right.
Or you know, whatever you want to present there. That's a very common one. Trying to think. There's some like sliding menu one, you know, the common paradigm of sliding a menu out from the left or right. There's a few different ones that are out mm-hmm. there. ECS sliding view I've used on a few projects.
So it sounds like it's really come a long way from the days where it was like, okay, I have to learn this GL library and Alphabet and C, and you know,
even stuff that that you would think is simple, which I would almost expect it to be in the API, and it has yet to ever get there, is. You know, if you do a regular scroll view and have form field elements on it, and you want it to slide when the keyboard comes up, you had to write a ton of code for that.
Oh, wow. I mean,
you had to, like, detect the keyboard, mm-hmm. you know, listen to notifications, slide, adjust the
view,
slide everything, you know, do everything. One or two projects ago, I came across some library. I forget what it was called. It was, like, PK sliding view or something like that. It was literally all I do is change like subclass, change a class declaration to some subclass that this guy wrote.
It just works.
And it just works.
Yeah,
it saved me a good like hour or two to do it yourself.
That's very cool. And for people who haven't ever done Objective-C work, and specifically, I guess there's really only iOS or Apple these days doing it.
Yeah.
But it's that NS next step. Name for all the classes. That's still there, I'm guessing.
Yeah, NS, UI.
Yeah.
A lot of NS stuff.
Next step this, like next step that. The old Apple, or post-Apple Steve Jobs gig. But do you find that things that used to be just native C APIs, that they're starting to put more Objective-C wrappers around them? Like, for example, the OpenGL when we went there, and I think it was even some of the database stuff was just C APIs.
Yeah, well, the database stuff I haven't seen any changes in, but again, I just use there's a common third-party library called FM Database.
Mm-hmm.
That provides a nice abstraction layer.
Interesting. Okay.
Or I'll use Core Data, which has its own APIs.
Mm-hmm.
But they're adding, what they tend to be adding, and this can kind of bridge us back a little bit to iOS 7, that I'm pretty sure I can talk about. You know, they're adding things to the API to make your apps richer and mm-hmm. to make them more engaging. So, like, they demoed the parallax scrolling, which is, you know, gives you that 3D feel. It basically adjusts your views based on the rotation of the device and movement of the device. That's all available in a very simple API.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of more effects, like gravity-type effects and elasticity-type effects and pushes and springs and things, how to make things very fluid, that's all part of the UI Dynamics API.
Mm-hmm.
That I know I can say because I saw it on a slide in the keynote. So I went to a number of presentations on that.
Hold on. We'll get the van. Blindfold? Okay.
Yeah. I specifically went to the one. I watched the video and stopped at the slide that showed all the stuff. So that's like a nice API that really can make some stunning effects. Now, of course, people can abuse that and
of
make
course.
Your apps like ridiculous.
The blink tag effect, like let's slide everything out in random locations just to tick you off.
Yeah, so I think if you keep it subtle, people they won't notice it, but it makes it a pleasing experience.
Right.
Or some people will notice it, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I see, that's the one nice thing they constantly do with their APIs is give you more and more power to make your apps more engaging and more interesting.
Anything else in that list? I was curious around Safari. I know that, for example, WebKit was being dropped by Google for Chrome. They're building their own.
I thought I saw something about that myself.
But I don't think they're still going to keep WebKit for Safari.
Yeah,
base,
I think they
right?
made some improvements to it again. I can't remember. And actually, my coworker had installed the beta of Mavericks on his one of his laptops. And when he was browsing around Safari, it was fast, noticeably fast.
Mm-hmm.
So the other two things that I found interesting, and one I don't really deal with, so I didn't go into it, but they have a whole new sprite kit, which is around gaming.
Oh, that'd be nice, yeah.
And the other thing, one of the presentations that we went to, and it is mentioned in a keynote slide.
So you're safe.
Is peer-to-peer networking. So they have a bunch of new networking stuff, including peer-to-peer stuff, and they...
Oh, cool.
There's real clean and simple APIs to do really cool peer-to-peer stuff. So you'll probably see a whole bunch of dating apps coming out.
So. Well, wait, bump me.
Yeah.
No. No. What's the time we got to edit that out? And then how about NFC? No announcement for NFC devices yet, right?
No. Still and I've read there. A lot of stuff just before, during, and after about how, you know, based on the fact that Apple's not picking it up, it seems like it's, you know, will it die?
Is it the flash of the future?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oof, yeah.
So, I mean, they, you know, the peer-to-peer stuff, and they didn't talk really much about Passbook. It's there. I don't think they're pushing it. I think it's kind of from the previous regime. I heard tones of that.
I mean, that feels like, and I had an iPhone until recently, you could put, like, your different, basically your different, you know, things like your Starbucks card and stuff in there, but all it really does is launch that app.
Yeah, well, I will say it was handy flying out there. I had a Passbook pass for my airline ticket, my boarding pass, so that was convenient.
Did you, like, trip it or something like that? Or
no, just from U.S. Airways.
Oh, cool.
They gave me a way to do it. Now, of course, it's airport-specific because coming home I couldn't get it.
That sounds like the U.S. Air flight system.
Yeah, and then, of course, Apple did the, you know, your ticket for your for the conference was a Passbook pass. You can do it that way or...
Well, of course you do it that way. Yeah, like, so here's my pretty copy. Like, you'll sit in the back.
Except for my coworker who brings an Android device to it.
What if I plug this in?
So I told him to take a screenshot of the Passbook thing and show it on the Android device, see if they ever noticed.
He should have done that.
Yeah.
So,
not much talk about NFC, and who knows where that's going to go.
Yeah, yeah, interesting. And so in terms of, like, events, fun events... my little warning screen came up. For people who don't see this, obviously no one sees this. It says, "Don't touch me. You'll be in trouble. Sign Dad." That's my screensaver.
Nice.
Because I have four kids at home, and they're home for the summer. But in terms of events, any fun events that you went to?
No, you know what? They don't do a lot of, you know, there's like company-sponsored stuff that they're constantly hitting you up for, and I don't really get into that too much.
Right.
They have their one big bash is about it.
Mm-hmm.
And... we didn't go this year because it's, you know, like 5,000 people cramming into an area.
Just go check out San Francisco.
Yeah,
point,
so we just went elsewhere. So it's not the 2 years that I've been there, it hasn't been that kind of a conference where there's a lot of, like, you know
Java 1, they want to have the rock star kind of thing.
Yeah.
I guess maybe Google, I don't know.
Yeah, but they did have, you know, like I said, they have the company one. Companies are always trying to get you in there to learn about their products and stuff like that.
Right. Is that the new Foursquare app? Okay. Sign in.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, Steve, thank you so much for talking about iOS and all things WWDC.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thanks to Steve Smith for coming on the podcast and talking to us. We're going to resurrect the dev news now and try to do it on a regular basis, hopefully weekly. The host will be myself and Joel Confino, who currently works on a project called Hadle, which is a kind of, if you think about, how do I describe it? It's worth millions of dollars. We're all going to get rich. Clearly, I was playing around there. Anyway, he'll tell us more about Hadle when we see him. The TechCast and the Dev News and all the other properties that we have are on the Emerging Tech site, emergingtech.chariotsolutions.com. There you'll find podcasts, screencasts, and other information relating to any kind of emerging technologies we're tracking. So listen for us next week, and you can subscribe to us on iTunes or by visiting emergingtech.chariotsolutions.com. For the Dev News, I'm Ken Rimple. thanks to Steve Smith for coming on the podcast and talking about Worldwide Developer Conference. You can find this and other podcasts on our Chariot Solutions Emerging Technologies site. That's emergingtech.chariotsolutions.com. For information on our training services, visit chariotsolutions.com/education. And of course, our primary job is consulting. We develop applications for mobile, for web, and integration. Visit us at the main website, chariotsolutions.com. Next week, I'll be joined by the new host, Joel Confino. We'll be co-hosting the show Dev News on a regular basis. And we will be taking feedback. Our Twitter account is @TechCast, so you can talk to us there and leave us feedback about things you'd like to see. For the TechCast and the Dev News, I'm Ken Rimple.